You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. For-profit schools have been in the news a lot in recent weeks, and much of the news has not been good for their owners. Increased federal scrutiny, new regulations, fines, and some of them are closing down, partially or completely.
Last month, Corinthian College has announced the closure of its remaining 28 campuses with over 16,000 students. It had already sold off a number of other campuses and had been fined $30 million for misrepresenting data on student job placements. Last week, two more chains announced closures. Education Management Corporation will close 15 campuses. The Career Education Corporation, 14.
Despite the news and criticisms over high student debt loads and bad job outcomes, our next guest says for-profit colleges can and should play a positive role in American higher education.
Judah Bellin is with us now. He researches higher education policy at the Manhattan Institute, and he's the associate editor of the blog Minding the Campus. Judah, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Judah, in a piece earlier this year, you wrote, for-profit schools have received plenty of bad press in the past few years, much of it justifiable. On average, students who attend for-profits have poor graduation rates, high loan default rates, and dismal job prospects. Furthermore, numerous news reports have exposed for-profit colleges' unsavory recruitment practices. Now, Judah, you wrote that, and you're the guy defending these schools. Given all that, what value do you see in for-profit colleges?
That's right. I would say that, again, though the overall story of the for-profit industry, at least it's been portrayed in the media, has been negative, I don't think this should lead us to discount the industry entirely. And as I mentioned in a recent article I wrote for City Journal magazine, the for-profit model is actually very productive in terms of thinking about how to reform higher education. The for-profit colleges, unlike their non-for-profit peers, don't suffer from entrenched bureaucracy, tenured professors, alumni, trustees, and can therefore change their course offerings at a much quicker rate than traditional non-for-profit schools. And they can, in fact, change their course offerings to adapt to what the labor market is demanding. So that leads many schools to sort of shoo the traditional liberal arts courses in favor of very relevant courses that lead students at good for-profit schools, into lucrative and meaningful careers. So I think, you know, they present a very useful alternative to thinking about what higher education could be, and in some cases, they actually do provide a worthwhile education.
So they're nimble, in effect. They can say, hey, here's the programming language, for example, or here's the kind of robot repair that the market needs now, and they can get a course up and running, say, next semester instead of 3 years from now.
That's exactly right. And since many for-profit colleges use actual industry practitioners as their faculty, students can know that what they're learning in the classroom is not merely theoretical, but it's actual information that's relevant to their careers, that's relevant to what the job market is currently demanding.
So that's the model you're saying, but it seems like there have been fines for misrepresenting job outcomes for students, criticism over high debt. Is that model what's really happening at for-profit campuses around the country?
So if you look at some of the larger chains, right, the EDMCs, the Corinthians, University of Phoenixes, you see pretty bad outcomes there. You see a lot of the fraudulent practices, the deceptive recruitment techniques that have been written about, and you see, again, the poor outcomes, poor graduation rates, bad loan debt rates as well. But if you look at some of the smaller for-profit schools, for example, if you look at the schools in New York, where I live, you'll see that there are a good number of schools that are actually fulfilling the promise of the for-profit industry. That is to say, they are offering a relevant curriculum. They are graduating students with relatively low student loan default rates, and they are graduating students at graduation rates above the national average. So that is to say that, you know, I think that the for-profits that receive the most media attention certainly are subpar by and large, but I think, again, that neglects you know, the broader story of the for-profit industry.
Last fall, the U.S. Department of Education announced what they're calling a gainful employment requirement. In a nutshell, as I understand it, this means that vocational programs, that includes for-profit and community or technical colleges, have to meet job placement standards to stay eligible for federal student aid. There have been lawsuits on this. It's due to come into effect in a couple few months if those lawsuits are unsuccessful. What would change in the for-profit world in particular?
Well, the for-profit industry has been preparing for these gainful employment mandates for a long time. As you said, the Department of Education has tried to institute them before, but these mandates were successfully challenged by the for-profit industry's lobbying group. What would change, essentially, is that for-profit colleges would face heightened scrutiny in terms of their outcomes. So if a certain percentage of their students are not repaying their loans at a particular rate, then they would become ineligible. Within a given period of time, they would become ineligible for federal aid. And since most for-profit schools draw from, you know, poorer students, poorer groups, that would be fatal to their business prospects. Not receiving federal aid would lead to widespread closures.
Do you think for-profit colleges are getting unfairly targeted, too much scrutiny from the Obama administration, and maybe not just the bad schools, as you were describing earlier, but the good schools you were talking about would be hurt by this?
So I think I'm conflicted. On the one hand, I think it's too much scrutiny in that the Obama administration, Department of Education, has not been giving nearly the same degree of scrutiny to any other sector. You know, the for-profit industry certainly has its bad actors, and it might have the most bad actors, but it's certainly not the only sector that has bad actors. And in fact, a study from the New America Foundation showed that with the new gainful employment measures, you know, I think some 20% of for-profit colleges would become ineligible for Title IV aid, but a non-negligible percentage of you know, community colleges and private colleges would also become ineligible. So that's today. I think it is worthwhile to connect you know, the delivery of student aid dollars to outcomes at particular colleges, but I think that needs to happen across the board. And to the extent that it isn't happening, I think that for-profits are being unfairly targeted.
Talking to Judah Bellin from the Manhattan Institute about for-profit colleges. Judah, you mentioned low-income students a few moments ago. One common criticism of for-profit colleges is they recruit low-income students who can't afford the debt that they rack up. But you've written recently that there's an opportunity for for-profit colleges to serve poor students better than anything else out there. So what's the opportunity there, if done right?
Well, you know, for-profit colleges draw poor students primarily because these students are not looking for a liberal arts education, which is what they'll get at a traditional nonprofit school. They're looking for a school that will offer them a flexible schedule, that will offer them relevant skills. And for-profit colleges, again, when, you know, they're not fraudulent, when they're well-designed, when they're well-regulated, can actually offer poor students, you know, those outcomes. And I've seen this. You know, I've recently written about, you know, poor students who I've met in New York City who really were unable to thrive in a non-for-profit environment, either because they didn't have as much direction or because it just didn't fit with their schedule. But the for-profit colleges really gave them the opportunity, it really gave them the flexibility to get relevant skills and to get their degree and to get a good career.
Well, you use the phrase well-regulated. What would well-regulated look like for for-profit schools to get those kind of benefits you're talking about?
Well, I think policymakers need to turn to New York State's example, again, which is the state in which I live. New York State has very strict rules about what sort of for-profit for-profit corporation can operate colleges in the state. So you have to, its owners have to show that they have no history of fraud, that they know how to run a business, they know how to run an educational enterprise, and that has, for the most part, kept out these sort of large predatory institutions that you hear about in the news. So on the one hand, there needs to be tighter regulation. But on the other hand, I think New York State and other states as well, New York State does promote the good work that for-profits are doing and has made efforts to connect students to the well-run schools that exhibit excellent outcomes. So I think you need to have both. You need to have tighter regulation, but you also need to have encouragement from the state of good schools.
We're talking about for-profit colleges with Judah Bellin for the Manhattan Institute. There's been more federal scrutiny of student debt and job outcomes at those schools and some high-profile closures and even a major bankruptcy over the last few weeks.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you or someone you know gone to one of these for-profit colleges? Was it a good experience and was it helpful on the job market? Do you think that the federal government is right to pay closer attention to these schools? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about for-profit colleges with Judah Bellin from the Manhattan Institute. In a recent piece linked on the Central Time Facebook page, he says, despite recent criticism, for-profit schools can and should play an important role in American higher education.
You can join the conversation. Do you have an experience at a for-profit school? As a student or maybe a staff member, what's your take? Some critics have called these predatory schools, saying they get students to rack up debt without providing enough benefits on the job market. Do you agree? Should they be regulated more closely? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller. We've got Larry on the line with us in Madison. Larry, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think about this?
Well, my comment is my wife had been at a for-profit school. And what we found out is that the credits she had earned were not transferable. I mean, they could not transfer to a four-year institution. That the school never told her anything like that before she applied, you know, for the school. I mean, I think that these schools should provide more basic information, not just be about the profit itself, but provide additional information to students that are applying to let them know that your credits are not going to be transferable, that a lot of businesses and jobs are not going to look to these schools as providing you with the skills necessary to perform the tasks that are needed.
Larry, thanks a lot for the call. Judah, do you think that's a common story, and does there need to be more upfront transparency offered, maybe required from these schools?
I think there does need to be more transparency in that the good for-profit schools I've seen, they do sit down with students before they even enroll to sort of talk about, the students' expectations and the realities. At those schools, students are told about whether their credits are transferable, what their job prospects are realistically. So there is obviously more responsibility on the part of the schools, but I would also say that there's more responsibility that's required on the part of the student, who in this case is very much a consumer. And to the extent that the student can do their research and find information about a school's graduation rates, employment prospects, and student loan default rates, much of that information is available through a federal database online, by the way, they should do that. And unfortunately, you know, many students, and this is true both in the for-profit and the nonprofit sector, many students go to school not knowing anything about, the default rate or the graduation rate. And they're terribly surprised when, they have to end up defaulting on their loans or if they don't graduate. But a lot of this, I think, can be predicted in advance, or one can have a better sense of one's likely outcomes if they just do their research.
Larry, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Cletus in Sturgeon Bay. Cletus, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What do you think about this, Cletus?
I think, first of all, I think it's a really, really good idea that we're throwing light on this, because any defaults will become the responsibility of the taxpayers, and it's a huge number. I think that's one part of it. But I think another part of it is that no one's talked about is the fact that college as this golden ticket to prosperity is everyone kind of knows that it's not the only path anymore. And so I think that advanced degrees in education is taking on a whole different kind of flavor these days, and people should be a lot more critical of it. And I can just take any comment off the air. Thanks.
Cletus, thanks for the call. Judah, your reaction to that second point first, that whether we're talking about for-profit, public-private institutions, this isn't the golden ticket anymore. College education may not be what it once was, he's saying.
I have to disagree that, you know, though you will hear horror stories in the news about student debt and graduate unemployment, you know, I don't want to minimize, you know, the truth of those stories. But, you know, all research shows that students who go to college, who get a college degree at any level, outperform their non-college degreed peers on a whole host of positive outcomes, whether it's income, whether it's health, whether it's familial stability. It seems that college is a good investment, and I think the question is, you know, not whether, you know, is college worth it, but rather what kind of college is worth it for me. And again, I think the for-profit colleges are worth it for a whole group of Americans, but we don't tend to think of them as such because we hear these awful news stories about the predatory institutions.
Cletus, thanks for that call. Talking to Judah Bellin with the Manhattan Institute about for-profit colleges. We heard on Facebook from Peter, who writes, nonprofit colleges have committed all of the abuses that for-profit colleges have been accused of. For each specific abuse that needs to be regulated, for-profit and nonprofit colleges should be treated the same. So, Judah, do you buy that? Whatever we're doing for for-profit colleges here, apply it to all the other higher education institutions?
I buy that to an extent. So listen, the for-profit colleges, you know, there's a specific section of the Higher Education Act, which is that for-profit colleges or schools that offer quote-unquote gainful preparation for gainful employment, you know, need to prove that they're doing so, or else they won't receive federal aid. So there is an idea that for-profit colleges should receive, you know, special scrutiny. But with that said, I think he's right in saying that we need to apply more scrutiny across the board. And again, while for-profit colleges might be the worst offenders in certain respects, but I will say that, you know, two-year for-profit colleges have higher graduation rates than community colleges. But regardless, even if for-profit colleges are the worst offenders, they're not the only offenders. And the federal government is investing, and the taxpayers are investing quite a bit of money in every sector of higher education. So we should intensify our scrutiny accordingly.
Back to our callers now with Corey in Two Rivers. Corey, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I worked for for-profit college as an instructor for 11 years. And a lot of the things you hear in the news are definitely true. There is a lot of misleading of students when they are being told by representatives what the school can do for them. And the school itself will certainly try and play up their graduation rates and falsify records in order to make them look good.
Corey, thanks for calling and sharing that experience. Judah, I mean, is this a case where it's not, we have a few bad apples we need to weed out, but it's mostly bad apples we need to dig through and find the good ones?
I think, it really depends on the state, to be honest. I think you could be pretty confident that one of these larger chain for-profit college companies, you know, like Phoenix, like Corinthian, you know, is not going to guarantee you, or, you know, there's not even, you know, a small chance that you'll really do well there. But it really depends on the individual college. And again, I can't urge this enough. You can find, you know, the federal government's actual records of schools' graduation rates and student loan default rates. And, you know, that might, you know, diverge from what the for-profit college or what the not-for-profit college is telling you, but that information should be very instructive to students when they're trying to choose which colleges to attend.
Judah, as we wrap up, do you think the good players in the for-profit world are going to survive and provide a viable alternative for higher education?
I think so. I think so. I think they will. I do worry that a too heavy hand from the Department of Education will wipe out some struggling but decent institutions. So I do believe that some good ones will always endure. But I will also say that I think it's going to happen that the not-for-profit sector will take some cues from the for-profit sector, and I think we're already seeing that. We're seeing community colleges across the country are. Some of them are moving towards online education, which is, you know, really what for-profit colleges have pioneered. They're also.
We'll have to leave it there. Judah, thanks for joining us. Judah Bellin researches higher education policy at the Manhattan Institute, talking about for-profit colleges with us today.